Verse 22, ye men of Israel. He doesn't say ye men of Southern California. He's talking to ye men of Israel. Hear these words. Now he's getting down to the nitty-gritty. Now he's getting to his subject. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. Now, I haven't time to go into each one of these miracles and wonders and signs. Now, I personally think they're all different. I believe that miracles were performed for one purpose, wonders for another purpose, and signs for another. He did certain things that were to be signs. Other things, he performed miracles to heal someone just because it is a miracle. But it said who he was. And wonders are performed to get the attention. So that these are the three areas in which our Lord moved, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Now, what he's saying is this, that this is not contrary to God's program. This is not something that happened that surprised God at all. But, he says, that does not relieve you of a responsibility. And it's nonsense now if you're beginning to say who is responsible for the crucifixion of Christ. Well, to begin with, the religious rulers began to move. And they are largely, I would say, to blame. They moved upon the multitude to make a mob out of them. They moved also upon the Roman government. And the Roman government is the one that tried him. And he was crucified on a Roman cross, friends. But there's no use arguing back there who's responsible. I'll tell you who's responsible. You are responsible, and I'm responsible. It was for my sins and your sins that he died. No man taketh my life from me, he said. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. He says, that commandment I have received of my Father. Now, this is all being done for you and for me, and so let's not point the finger here. But Simon Peter certainly is doing it. There's no question about that. But that's not the important thing even that Simon Peter's doing at this time. Now he says, him being delivered by the determinant counsel and foreknowledge of God you've taken by wicked hands, crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Now he's talking about the resurrection. This is the first sermon ever preached in the church. This is the beginning. This is the day of Pentecost. What's he talking about? He's not talking about Joel. He's talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, my beloved. Let's don't change the subject. Let's not get away from what he's talking about. Now he's going to quote a text. He's going to go to Psalm 16, verses 8 through 10. And I'm glad that he did that because it's going to help me, by the way, with Psalm 16. Now listen to him. Verse 25 now of the second chapter of Acts. He says here, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord. And if you want to get the quotation, it's back in the 16th Psalm, verses 8 through 10. And back there, you will find out that David is speaking along this very line.